Hey, this is Michael O'Keefe. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest and China Lake. Radio powered by the people.
And welcome to KPFK's Arts and Review, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. Today, I'm going to be talking to playwright Catherine Butterfield and director Ron West, who are bringing Butterfield's play, Brownstone, to the Atwater Theater. This is the L.A. premiere of this play, so please stay tuned to Arts and Review. And welcome back. This is your host, Julio Martinez, and now I would like to welcome Catherine Butterfield and Mr. Ron West. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, I got both your voices. You're both
good.
So this play, Brownstone, was originally introduced at the Laguna Playhouse, and it was commissioned by them. But you wrote it, Catherine. How did you decide to bring it to the Atwater?
Well, they had a slot suddenly come available, and they wanted something that would match their company. They have a very young, talented group of people. I mean, they have all ages, but they've got a new crop of young actors that we found very interesting, and we thought it would be good to do a play that featured six young people starting out in the world in different eras in the country's history. So this Brownstone was a good match for their company, really.
Yeah, and I have a long history with the company, the Open Fist Company, and we've done several plays, several productions there together. So we have a good history with them, and it's a good fit.
Well, the name of the play really interested me. I believe I was born in a brownstone at 110th and 2nd Avenue in New York.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorkican. And so I'm familiar with the type of building this is.
Aren't they wonderful? I mean, they're just so filled by now with history, and you can just feel the previous people who lived there.
And that's a lot about what the play is about. It is about the history of the building and feeling the people that lived there before you.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with three couples living in three different time zones. 1937,
that's right.
The year I was conceived, and 1978, and 1999.
Yeah, that's right. The 1970s girls really echo closely my experience in the late 70s of living in New York City during a time when the city was virtually bankrupt. You remember that headline, Ford to the City, Drop Dead. They were trying to get money to bail themselves out. So it was a tough time to be living in New York, in Manhattan. And the play kind of reflects that.
And this stars two women, Rosie Byrne and Amber Tierra, a pair of starry-eyed aspiring actresses, newly arrived in New York in the 70s and struggling to get their big break, didn't we all?
That's right. And, you know, they're naive, they're young, they're starry-eyed, they're very idealistic, and they've hit New York at a time when it is anything but idealistic. So, you know, they come up against it.
Amber's somebody we haven't worked with before, but Rosie was actually a student of mine in an improv class online, which is where I met her.
And the two of them have lovely chemistry together.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there's so many comparisons in my life and your life. I was a member of the committee, which came out of Second City.
Oh, no
City.
Kidding.
Wow.
I was Del Close's assistant.
No kidding. Oh. I knew Del.
Didn't everybody? Yes. But,
wow.
Yeah, I was part of the Herald when it was first started back
no
in 67.
Kidding.
So I'm
In San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm aging myself.
Are you aware of this documentary that's being made about the committee?
Yeah, they interviewed me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
I have also seen parts of it. And some of the footage and the people that were in it are quite significant.
Oh, sure. A number of the actors have come to L.A. and established careers here. They've done plays together. Two of the actresses from the committee, Julie Payne and I can't remember the other one, came and did a two-person play here that I reviewed. So I run into them all the time.
Was that fair that you had been with the committee and then you were reviewing their play?
Oh, sure. I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. As long as you think so, yeah, I trust your objectivity.
So now you're directing this play, sir.
And yes, I am.
Now, the play takes place at three different time zones, three different couples. And you open tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yes, we do. First, second preview is tonight. And then our big opening is tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're cutting it very close.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
They're ready, though.
They're ready. They're all ready to go.
How many previews were you able to have?
Just two.
Well,
plus
three.
A high school performance. That was great.
Yeah, so really three.
Now, the first time you came in front of an audience, were you surprised where the laughs were and weren't?
You know, this is a play that does not have a ton of laughs. It's really kind of a drama, which is what makes it interesting that Ron is directing it so gorgeously. There are laughs.
Yeah.
But it's not like a laugh fest.
I would have to say that there was a laugh that was late in the show with the high school kids about someone's appearance. And when they got that laugh late in the show, I knew that they had been on board for the whole show.
Well, and they did a lot of gasping, you know, once they would realize the plot is a little bit intricate. And once they realized what was happening to people, there was a lot of, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Which is so cute.
Yeah, that was nice.
Well, Catherine, since the production at the Laguna Playhouse, have you worked on the play, rewritten any part of it?
There has been, with this production, I have done some rewrites, mostly because we have the luxury of having a nice deep set, which allows us to have actors on stage from the different eras at the same time. It's such a beautiful set. And so you can have them wandering in and out of each other's realities, kind of like ghosts. So I've written that into the script for anyone who wants to do the play in the future. I guess I'm going to have to talk to the publisher and see if they'll put that in there.
The big change, though, was flipping those first two scenes.
Oh, that's right. We did flip the first two scenes so that the 70s girls come on first, followed by the 1937 couple, the pre-war couple.
Now, I'm ashamed to ask this, but does the furniture stay the same in all the decades?
No.
Oh,
different
good.
Parts of the stage are festooned, and it feels as though you're wandering from one era into another.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool that way.
It works out pretty well. It's only at the very end where we kind of have them, where they're using all the stuff at the end.
This is great. I should remind everyone that the play does open tomorrow, January 28th, 8 p.m.
It's 24th.
Oh, 24th, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's okay.
Performances run Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m., Sundays, 2 p.m., and it's running through February 28th.
Actually, I think we can say now that it's going to go through March 14th.
Oh, can we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay then.
I think a radio program would be a good place to announce it.
Yes, that's great.
And make good use of the medium that we've been given.
I guess it must be selling tickets.
And Atwater Village Theater is located at 3269 Casitas Avenue in LA 90039.
You know, here's a big bonus for anybody that's driving to the theater, because if you live in LA, you're probably going to be driving a car. There is free parking at Casitas and Minneapolis, just two blocks from the theater. Free parking.
Not even. It feels like a block. It's very short.
Yes. I have parked there many times.
There you go.
But if you need to purchase tickets, you can call 323-882-6912, or you can go to openfist.org.
Yes, I think that's better to go to openfist.org.
Yeah,
I think
we tried the phone number, and I don't know, maybe they've fixed it, but...
Go to the website.
Go to the website.
Now, I was informed by your producers that you're offering two pairs of tickets to members of the KPFK family.
We sure are.
Oh, great.
And if you are a member of the KPFK family, meaning you're a dues-paying member of our KPFK, you can call us at 818-985-5735. And you have to identify the play, Brownstone. Remember that. And my producer, Donna Walker, will take your name. You can get a pair. We're offering two pairs.
That's all they've got to do is name the play. That's a very easy test. A lot of people should ace that test.
Yes, I would think so. So
we won't ask any history questions then.
So now this is the part of the show where I get into your own lives. I have to ask you, Chelsea, how did you get into the arts?
Catherine, how did you get into the arts?
Excuse me.
Chelsea is one of our actresses. She's fantastic. She plays Davia in the 1937 couple.
Thank you for helping me out. Yes.
I started out as an actress. I was a regional theater actress, did a lot of work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, Seattle Repertory, Pittsburgh Public, the Long Wharf Theater. And so that was a great career for a while. But I was always a writer. Even as a child, I would write little plays and force the rest of my family to be in them. And so that started to emerge after a while. I wrote things for myself, and then I started just writing them for other people.
You were from Minnesota, aren't you? You're from Minnesota?
Raised there partially, also Massachusetts. The early childhood was Minnesota, where I learned Minnesota nice. And Massachusetts was where I learned to be a masshole.
I never heard that before.
What was your first professional job?
Oh, gosh, my first professional job, my first equity job was Play It Again, Sam.
Oh, yes.
Alan Sues playing the Woody Allen role. Was kind of a misfit, but he was a hilarious guy. I don't know if you remember him.
I do. And you, sir, how did you get involved in the arts?
Well, until about 4 weeks ago, I was a veterinarian.
Oh, all right.
I said, I don't want to do that anymore because these animals are scratching me all the time.
He's so silly.
And so I just, I also started as an actor. My first professional thing was a summer stock production of The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, in which I had about two lines. And then I worked at Second City in Chicago, and that's where I started directing.
You were an actor at Second City?
I was, and directed several shows there. You know what? I'm still actually sort of involved with them.
He directed Carell.
Yep.
And Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers. Who else?
Well, I think those.
What's his name? Mike Myers.
I've worked with Mike Myers a little bit.
Oh, okay. Jane Lynch.
Yes, Jane Lynch was a terrific asset when she was working there.
Well, you both have seemed to segue very nicely from stage to the screen. This happened for you, Catherine, in L.A.?
Yeah, actually, a producer in New York saw my work at a place called the West Bank Cafe, and he asked me if I would be interested in writing a TV movie for CBS. So that
started
that off, yeah. That led to TV work and film work, which kept me floating for a nice amount of time.
Good. This is wonderful. And you, sir?
Yes.
How did you get involved in film and television?
I went to an audition one day, and because I was as loud as the lead actor, they said, put him next to the lead actor.
And the lead actor was?
Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Oh, yes.
So are he you was as on tall as he Third is? Rock from the Sun.
My wife auditioned for John Lithgow in New Jersey. She remembered that.
No kidding.
What a talented guy. Yeah. So amazing. Yeah. He's got a play coming in where he's playing Roald Dahl in New York. It's supposed to be amazing.
Oh, that was in London when we
were there. Giant, it's called. Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's this play? You already said it. It's extending. Are you working on other works, too?
Ron's working on a novel.
Yeah, I'm working on a novel.
Catherine's
written two of them, and so I got to catch up.
This is great. How did you come about your cast, the cast for this play?
Mostly it's company members. The whole group showed out and auditioned, and we were very pleased with the turnout.
Yeah. Isaac we know from another reading.
Isaac J. is our non-company member. He's wonderful.
Jade Santana we know from several other plays and things we've done with her.
And Jade and Isaac play the 2000 couple, who sort of are the exponents of the Greed is Good era.
Rosie, well, we know since she was one of my students and done other stuff with me. Amber is new to us. Mm-hmm. Chelsea is Second City, L.A., and Matthew's from the company, and he's new to our world.
Those two who are doing the 1930s couple are so charming. I think they've really sort of channeled somehow the sort of mid-Atlantic tinge to the voice. And
Chelsea's like the reincarnation of Myrna Loy.
She is. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She's just delightful.
Matthew and Chelsea are playing a pampered, rich young couple of the 1930s who long to move to Paris, don't we all?
Yeah, but I won't give any plot away. But they're living in a pretty interesting time, and you know that Chinese curse.
Have you done much rewriting of the play once you went into rehearsal?
Not
really. Just a little bit here and there.
Yeah. It's
we had a prop that we couldn't get.
That's right.
But we could get something like it, so we had to change the words to match the prop that we could get.
These little wastebaskets that used to be around quite a bit in the 70s that don't exist anymore, that are in the shape of wicker animals.
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
Were those hard to find.
Julio, just so you know, our cat has joined the interview, but he's very quiet, as you can hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We Hold just him got up.
I can see you guys. I was wondering if I could see the cat.
Oh, here he is. Can you see him?
Oh, you can see us?
Yeah, I can see you. Barely. Oh.
There he is. That's Douglas.
Oh, yes, I can see him.
Yeah.
That's
Betsy's
great.
Over there, but she's being a little more shy.
I have to remind our audience once again, you're listening to Arts and Review, your host, Julio Martinez. My guests are, Catherine Butterfield and Ron West, the playwright and director of Brownstone, opening at the Atwater Village Theater tomorrow night, January 24th, running through March 14th. Is that correct?
That is right.
Oh, good. I remember. So cool. That's good. I have to ask, Ron, you were involved in improv theater a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Had you was it difficult segueing into scripted theater for you?
No. I would say that it was. I would say it wasn't too hard at all, because a lot of times at Second City we were dealing with an improvisation that we would turn into a script, and getting to that script was the hardest thing. Here, basically, the script is existing already, and I just have to try not to screw it up.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, that's really what my job is.
He is being modest. He is so amazingly organized, and he's got this thing working like clockwork, in my opinion.
Well, thank you, honey.
done a great job.
Thank you. Well, it's fun to do. The people are committed to it, and they're all looking for. The actors are really into it. They're really serious.
Love it. They're working so hard. They really are putting out a lot of energy and good work on this.
Yeah,
and they're having a good time.
Is there an intermission in this play between?
There is, and it comes at no extra charge.
If you come on Saturday night, though, there'll be champagne and hors d'oeuvres after the show. Yeah. So bear that in mind.
Oh, too bad I'm working tomorrow night.
But
I am going to come see the play. I can't.
Hey, you know the name of the play. You know the phone number of the radio station. You can get two tickets.
Yeah, so they tell me.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, have you ever done the Herald?
Yes.
So,
and various long form improvisations.
Yes.
There's all kinds of variations on it now.
Yes, I heard. When
you were in there for the beginning of the Herald, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
Del told us we had been rehearsing for about 4 months. He had a group of students that came from Berkeley, from the streets of San Francisco, from all over. And he was doing all this scene work. And he said, well, you've learned all these improv bits. I have an idea. Why don't we ask a question of the audience, something more universal, like, why am I alive? And use all your improv techniques. Just go in and out of each other. And there were 12 of us. We asked, how long? He said, well, at least an hour. And that's what we did.
That must have been amazing the first time. An hour? You must have been shocked.
It went by very fast.
It does go by very fast. There,
I have to ask, why is it called a Herald?
Well, that's interesting.
It was sort of a flippant thing, like remember how we flippantly named the mannequin Kermit the other day, or the shark in Jaws was called Bruce.
Name?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like
HBO. So it's like somebody said, "What do you call that?" And somebody remember when George Harrison said. What do you call that haircut, Arthur?
Uh-huh.
It's like that kind of response to it. What do you call that form, Harold?
See, I thought it was H-E-R-A-L-D, heralding.
H-O-R-O-L-D, guy's name. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It was the, what do you call that thing, Arthur? It was Harold.
Yeah.
One of the actors in the company just yelled out, Harold. And they said, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, that just means long-form improv that weaves in and out of each other for as long as an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was surprised
your play is like a scripted Herald, honey.
Yeah.
You didn't know. Yeah.
It sounds like it.
It is with the way the themes are, you know, when Why Am I Alive was suggested by the audience, then the actors explore that question or that theme, and you're in all three of the stories in this. You explore the same themes,
which is that the hopes and dreams of young people, and are they able to bring them to fruition?
That's very good. It does sound like a Herald.
Yeah, it very much is. And now there's a lot more. I use. The techniques of long form improvisation in directing scripted work all the time, because I don't want there to be a lot of scenery. I don't want there to be any pauses. So I just say, just do a sweep there and just start the next scene. You know, there's no reason why we have to wait for big changes or anything. They'll get it. Let's keep going.
So this plays a departure for him because there's a lot of scenery. It's a big set. Let's put it that way. It doesn't move.
Not just a group of chairs.
That's right.
Correct.
It's actually gorgeous. I want to move into it.
Yeah, it's the set is designed by Jem and Ro and lit by Gavin Wyrick.
Yeah, they did a fabulous
job. Sound by Kermit Frisbee.
I want to remind everyone that following my show is my producer, Donna Walker, whose guest is actor-comedian Eddie Izzard, who's starring in Hamlet at the Multibun Theater. And she's interviewing him, just like I am, by Zoom.
I think you have to call her now.
Yes, but I want to thank you both for being here. And I want to remind you, everyone, I hope someone from KPF called in, because this is going to be a marvelous pair of tickets you can get. And it's two pairs being offered, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, press 2. But I want to thank you to Catherine and Ron for being here.
Thank you.
It was really fun. Thanks for having us, Julio.
Oh, and hopefully for everybody else, I'll be seeing you next week. So please stay tuned to Donna Walker's Pacifica Performance Showcase. And bye-bye. Thank you.